Today we're going to talk about the integral part that the Holy Spirit played in Jesus' ministry and how it plays an integral part in what we do and our mission. Now the scripture I just read this morning is pretty familiar to us, I think. Jesus returns to his hometown in Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue where he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. And he then says he will fulfill that scripture. He will preach good news to the poor, give freedom to the oppressed and the prisoners, to heal the blind, and bring the good news of salvation. But as we read or listen to this passage, we may gloss over some important facts. I'd like to return to the first phrase of the scripture. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first words that Jesus spoke from Isaiah were, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Now, we may tend to miss these references to the Holy Spirit, but I think they're really important to show us the work the Holy Spirit did in Jesus' ministry, because we may tend to overlook it. Now, to me, it seems like the Holy Spirit repeatedly gets the short end of the stick. I mean, he rarely gets mentioned. Perhaps it's because the Holy Spirit is hard for us to comprehend. We have our understanding of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. We have the whole New Testament to describe Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection. And many of us have heard these stories since we were toddlers. Jesus lived his life as a human on the earth. And we relate to that. He did something tangible. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 people. And he can relate to us, having gone through the same feelings and the situations that we have. He's experienced sorrow, joy, temptation, disappointment, the feeling of betrayal. And we can understand God as the Father. We know what a good father should be, and God is the best father we could possibly have. We're his children. He's the maker and supreme power in the universe, and he so loves and cares for us that he would do anything for us, even sending his only son. Now, that description, too, I think is fairly easy to hang on to and grab hold of. And then we come to the Holy Spirit, and we're a bit stymied. Among other descriptions, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, and Strengthener. And these descriptions, though they're helpful, still leave a lot to interpretation. They're not quite as concrete as Father and Son. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is an integral part of the Trinity. And the Trinity is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Trinity may be even harder to understand than the Holy Spirit. It's been contemplated for centuries, and we still don't get it. So if you're puzzled by it, don't be dismayed at all. Listen to this story. St. Augustine, who lived in the 4th century, was walking on the seashore one day, contemplating the mystery of the Holy Trinity, when he saw a little child running back and forth from the water in the ocean to a spot on the seashore. And the boy was using a small little shell to carry water from the ocean to this little hole, and he poured it into the hole. And Augustine came up to him and asked him what he was doing. And the boy replied, "I'm going to pour the entire ocean into the hole." "What?" said Augustine. "That's impossible, my dear child. The sea is so great, and the shell and the hole are so little." "That's true," the boy said. "But it would be easier and quicker to draw all the water out of the sea and fit it into this hole than for you to fit the mystery of the Holy Trinity into your understanding. For the mystery of the Trinity is greater and larger in comparison with your intelligence than is the vast ocean in comparison to this whole." And then the child vanished. Now, one contemporary author suggests the role of the Trinity can be summarized by saying, the Father creates the plan. Jesus Christ implements the plan, and the Holy Spirit administers the plan. Now, of course, this is an extreme oversimplification, but at least it puts us on the same page as we explore this morning. God the Father is love. He's the source and master designer for the plan of salvation. And it's the Father who sent the Son to fulfill his plan to redeem his people. Now, in obedience to the Father, Jesus took on the form of flesh and died on the cross and rose again that the world may be saved, thus implementing the plan or putting it into action. Now, the Holy Spirit was also sent from the Father, and he administers the plan. He keeps the plan moving forward. He's the impetus behind the action. He dwells in the hearts of people, in you and me, teaching us and guiding us. The Holy Spirit enables people to live according to the will of the Father. So let's look again at the role the Holy Spirit played in Jesus' ministry. Now, both Jesus and the Holy Spirit were alive and at work from the very beginning. Let's think about this. For starters, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, as we restate every time we say the Apostles' Creed. And those who were essential to Jesus' mission experienced the Holy Spirit even before Jesus was born. Early in Luke, he tells us that both of John the Baptist's parents were filled with the Holy Spirit as they awaited John's birth. John the Baptist himself was empowered by the Holy Spirit to announce the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. John also baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And during the baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And God the Father said to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So at the baptism, the starting point of his ministry, all of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were present for the people to witness by their eyes and their ears. Now, after Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit went with Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then we come to today's scripture in which the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus as he preached the good news and anointed him to fulfill his mission. So I think the continuing importance of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' ministry is repeatedly described in the New Testament and is important. At the end of Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples. Prior to his ascension into heaven, Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and all who saw it were amazed. They heard the sound of a wind blowing, and they saw fires of fire and flames coming down onto the disciples. The disciples had been eagerly awaiting that day to receive the Holy Spirit, and now Jesus' prophecy was true. The disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They went to spread the good news far and wide, and they were transformed from people who fled at Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion to people who stood on the temple courts proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Now that's quite a shift. And they didn't do it on their own. It took the Holy Spirit. And like the disciples, the Holy Spirit is given to us. Now, it may not be as dramatic as what happened to the disciples at Pentecost, but God still gives his Holy Spirit to his people. Well, then, you ask, why don't I feel the Holy Spirit? Well, perhaps it's because we didn't make room for him. Speaking to a large audience, the famous D.L. Moody asked, how can I get the air out of this glass? And one man shouted, well, suck it out with a vacuum. Well, Moody replied, that could create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled. He picked up a pitcher and filled the glass with water. There, he said. All the air is now removed. He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking sin out here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think this is a great illustration. We recognize the glass as a Christian, and the Christian could be partially filled with something or be absolutely empty. And to top it off, no pun intended, many of us have put a lid on top of the glass so nothing can get in and nothing can get out. For the Holy Spirit to enter, we have to take off the lid and we need to invite the Holy Spirit in. If we do that, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But maybe we find it's impossible for us to empty our glass on our own. I feel that even if we're filled with something else, worries or pride or selfishness or the need to be successful, and the list goes on, the Holy Spirit can still enter us if we're open to him, as he pours himself into us, then our worries and everything else can come out, and he flushes out all those extraneous things. Now, once we've allowed room for the Holy Spirit, then what do? Well, we need to be patient. Remember how Jesus told his disciples they needed to wait for the Spirit to enter them? So we wait, and we listen. We become more aware of that still, small voice inside us, guiding us toward how we should think and feel and act. And we continually make ourselves aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we don't, our glass can fill up again with all those extraneous things. Now, sometimes it may be difficult to determine if it's really the Holy Spirit guiding us. Well, one way, and it's a way Jesus used constantly, was to pray. Countless times in his life, Jesus went away by himself to pray. He needed to be able to listen, to become recharged and renewed. And that's why Pastor Mark went on his renewal leave, to become recharged and renewed. I think all of us could use a spiritual renewal leave in which we take the lid off our spiritual glass and open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, inviting him in and asking him to fill us with his power. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can then discern what God has planned for our lives. As I said to the children, we all have a purpose or a mission, just like all of those things had a purpose or a mission. And by being aware of the Holy Spirit in us and listening to him, we can find out what our mission is, just like Jesus did. To help with that, we've been given gifts and talents. And these may include things like teaching, hospitality, healing, wisdom, faith, and more. And Emerson Coy talked about this last week. He told us all of us have a gift. Well, the Holy Spirit can help you identify your gifts. And with that knowledge, you can take the first step on your mission. Your mission will use one of those gifts. Then the Holy Spirit will send you out equipped to succeed and empowered by Him. Well, you could start with small steps. For example, if you think the Spirit is leading you to teaching, but you're still a little intimidated by that thought, try assisting another teacher first and learn the ropes. Our Wednesday afternoon classes for children and youth could always use some more teachers and people to help, especially since we have fewer teachers during the winter months. Well, maybe you have the gift of hospitality, but you find it difficult during COVID to put it into action. But instead of inviting people to your house, perhaps you could take a meal to somebody else who may find it difficult to make their own, or maybe just need an act of kindness. Being part of the meal ministry here at the church is a great way to start. Now, Methodists are known for their potlucks and their food, but if we can't have a potluck, think outside the box and prepare the food and take it to someone else. God had a plan for Jesus, and Jesus was led and empowered by the Holy Spirit through prayer to implement that plan. Jesus could not have been as successful in his ministry without the Holy Spirit. The same is true for us. So spend time in prayer. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. Identify your mission, and then use the Spirit's power to accomplish it. Can you imagine the positive changes that would take place in the world if we all did that? It would be astonishing. Now, I have a glove in my hand. The glove can't do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, the glove can do many things. True, it's not the glove, but it's my hand in the glove that acts. The Christian is the glove. The Holy Spirit is the hand who does the work. We must make room for the hand so that every finger is filled with the Holy Spirit. What's in your glove? Amen.